I'm talking this morning with Moussa Sen Absa, an internationally recognized Senegalese film director, screenwriter, painter, and songwriter, perhaps best known for his trilogy of films that are screening at the Cascade Festival of African Films here in Portland this month. The retrospective of his work opens with the screening on February 14th of Hale, which was the 2022 Oscar submission by Senegal to the 95th Academy Awards for Best International Feature Film. Well, welcome to KBOO and the Old Mole Variety Hour, Moussa Sen Absa.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be programmed in this wonderful festival and to show this trilogy of my films, starting with Tableau Ferraille in 97 and Madame Brouet 2002, and then 20 years later, Hale. Hale
Well, yeah,
is the story.
it's a kind of love letter to the women in your life and your country of Senegal, is it not? I mean, and in that sense,
Yes.
it's maybe a great
Yes,
film to show
you
on
know,
Valentine. That's Valentine's Day here, so it's your own Valentine in a way.
yes.
Well, tell us about
Thank you.
the basic story. It's a richly engaging, a beautifully realized film, visually, musically, dramatically. Tell us about it and your vision of that most recent film.
Oh, Hale came out because of, every day I was just looking at the newspapers and I was seeing so many scandals about young girls raped by their family member, by school teachers, by neighbors. And so I was very confused about this phenomenon. And I was just asking myself, so how come that these stories are so recurrent, so coming back and forth every day. And then I start to look at my society and ask questions with psychologists, with doctors and family members and inside my family too, just asking questions. And then it comes out that so many dramas are boiling in families in silence, and there are so many victims that are very silent about it, and nobody was talking about it. So this is the base of the seed of the story. And of course, for me, it's a big drama for young girls being raped, but it's a social drama. It's not only about the girl, it's also about the whole society, how the society react about these kind of elements that destroy a society.
I think your film so effectively draws out how many people are implicated in the troubles of this girl and her abuse.
Because in our society, the individual has a sense regarding the community, and the individual doesn't exist without the community. So the community is very involved in the individual part of a person. So I was very, very scared because I have daughters also. So I was also asking my daughters what happened in their life. So from questioning the society, questioning people, girls, men, women, elders, I was just digging more and more and finding out a line of storytelling. And I ended up writing Hale, which is the story of these twins having two different paths in their life and also trying to heal their wounds, because as some psychologist, a French psychologist was saying, is that we spend our life trying to heal the wounds of our childhood, because we have scars, we have wounds, we are going through the path of of life, and during this path, sometimes you hit your head on something, you bleed, and then this element become kind of a scar that makes your life different. So I always think that it's very important for me. It was very important for me to tell such a story.
Yeah, and I'm a psychologist myself, and I've been interested as a psychologist in how films portray the abuse and trauma of women. And one thing I very much appreciated about your film was that you didn't pull away from the abuse she suffered from her uncle, but she also continued to live her life. She had support. She was not defeated by this. Without giving too much away, there's a revenge element to the story where she fights back. But she's a single woman who raises a daughter, and so she's a defiant young woman who is not defeated by this abuse. Can you say something about that portrayal? Because sometimes I think abusive victims are portrayed as completely defeated and so injured they cannot function. But she was a very, she had a life that continued, even though she ends up exacting revenge on this man.
I have been raised by women, and all the women I knew in my childhood was very strong, and many of them were having very difficult stories. But at the same time, they have always this beautiful smile in their face. They danced. They were singers. They were so beautiful. And I was always asking myself, so what makes them alive after all this trauma that they have been passing through? The trauma of divorce, trauma of losing a man. One of them was a widow. One of them had so many troubles with a man and ended up being divorced. And still, they enjoyed life. They were just so beautiful, so full of life. And I always think that I always thought that this is a kind of a tribute I have to make for women regarding these ones that have been all around me. Because I was the only child of my mom. I have a brother, but the brother was not with my mom. So I was with my mom, and my mom didn't have any daughters. So I was the daughter of my mom. I was doing all these jobs that a daughter had to do for the family. I was cooking, I was cleaning, I was ironing, I was washing, I was doing all these things. So at the end of the
That gave you
day,
an
this woman,
appreciation for women's work.
yes, and at the end, these women were looking at me like a little daughter. So they didn't hide to me. They were telling their stories, and I was sitting there, and I was listening. And these are the fundamentals of my narration,
And you also have this interesting narrative device in the film that has been called Afro-Greek chorus. Is that part of what you're describing as the voices of others that kind of encircle the person, the protagonist, a kind of both guiding spirits, guiding voices, and also the observers of what is happening that helps the audience understand, like the Greek chorus. Can you say a little bit about that device in your film?
This device is a very traditional way of storytelling. These women that were surrounding me were singers. They were singing during baptism, during funerals, during weddings, and they can sing a person like a long story. So it's not a Greek kind of thing. It's an African way of storytelling. And my approach is that, as we are not alone, we have our spirit, we have our soul, we have our body, we are inside of a society, and the society has a voice. Our body has a voice, our soul has a voice. So these characters that are the lines of storytelling in my films are the poets, the philosopher. This spirit that is surrounding our life, because there is no moment of silence in an individual. Even if you sleep, you know, there is no silence. You know, your spirit is always occupied by something about dreams,
Right, the voices
nightmares,
of
you know.
others, and psychologists
Yes.
talk about that as well, the inner
Okay.
voice, the guiding voices.
These voices for me are very important. So when I write, first of all, I write the music before I write the film, which is a very strange way. People always ask me, my producers especially, they always ask me, so how come that you want to make the music before the film? I say the music is the line of my story. It's a long poem I write. It can be like 20 pages of poetry that I put in music. And these lines of poetry sustain the narrative that I want to tell. And the music is part of my, I come from a griot family, you know. My family is a griot family. And we are
Is that
storytellers, we
a
are singers.
is that a tribe or a group within
It's
that
a
area,
group.
West Africa, that an ethnic group that has a particular aesthetic around music?
Yes. The griot are the memory of the society. They are also those who are putting the bridges when there is a problem. They call the griot to tell to resolve these problems. So they are also judges. You know, they are kind of people that help the society to be peaceful, to be in harmony. And I always remember one of my aunts. I called her the lawyer. Because sometimes there is a problem in a couple, and they call her, and he says to, she would say to me, "Come, Musa, come with me." So I was just sitting there and listening to her, how she can bridge this broken bridge, you know, how she can rely all these dots that was sparkling all over the place, and you know, and becomes a big drama. And they just, I mean, she was just talking. And at the end, these people just hug each other, you know. And I was thinking to myself, but she's a great lawyer. She's a great prosecutor or a magistrate, you know.
And
And
at the
this is for
end,
me.
that without giving, I don't want to give away the end of the film, but the film ends with the scene of women, magistrates or judges who are hearing a case. And I don't want any spoilers, but were you saying something as you concluded the film about this community of women judges who are, they're the arbitrators, who seem to
Yes.
be sympathetic, but it's left kind of open, the ending.
Yes, because I don't want to be I don't want to be a moralist. You know, I'm not I don't have the solution. I just open doors. You know, and put the curtain. So you open the curtain, you open the door, you enter, and you find your own way. So
Yeah, and it invites the
every
audience. It invites the audience. I watched the film with my husband, and we had a discussion about the ending of the film. And I think that's good. While I still have you, I would like you to say a little bit about the twin brother, because it's about the path of the young woman, the girl Awa, and she's a student, has aspirations, works in her aunt's salon after school. The boy is really determined to go to Europe and is kind of smitten, entranced by the fantasy of becoming rich in Europe, going to Paris. So the film, in a way, is also a cautionary tale or commentary on the fantasy of immigration that captures so many young people in Africa. What were you trying to say in the film about that fantasy?
You know that passports exist only at the beginning of the 19th century. Before, people were just like going from one place to another without any
Yeah.
problem.
So the whole
And
idea of having papers depends on when those
yes.
papers started.
And you know, it's in the human nature to travel, to discover other land, other people. I always think that, you know, the world is completely closed, and this aspect of the world brings so much trauma and drama. And
Yeah.
I will just say, everybody has to dream. The dream is priceless. You know, you need to have vision. You need to have any kind of perspective that's read in your face and on your path. So Adama, like many African boys, look at the world as a big place to go. And unfortunately or fortunately, they all want to see something else. And I think this is human. But at the same time, it is so difficult for them to get visa, to get paper, to get that. So they just decide sometimes to take a boat. And since long time, I live in front of the sea. And I look at the sea now like a big cemetery, you know, which is dramatic for me because I love the sea. Because so many young boys and girls are drawn in the Atlantic Ocean or in the Mediterranean Ocean. And I think that's not fair because I think the world would be better if everybody can go wherever he or she feel like going.
Yeah. So you were not condemning that curiosity and impulse to see a bigger world, even though many, as you say, are lost and swallowed up in that sea, but through forces that are unnecessary and are the product of the history of colonialism and imperialism, that so many goods travel in the global economy as people are stopped at the borders.
You know, it's an advocacy for an open world, an open humanity.
A world without world without borders.
A world without borders. Because when you put borders, you block others to meet others.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe in the Ubuntu. I am because you are. If we can meet in a point, then we can exchange. Then we can learn more about each other. Then we can be better. We can be better human. And more we are better human, more the world will be beautiful. So maybe it's an utopic, idealistic view, but I believe in utopia.
We need utopias. And I think that's a beautiful note to conclude on and to remind listeners that this is the 35th annual festival, Cascade Festival of African Films, that is very much in the spirit that you described so eloquently, a world without borders where we can learn about Africa through African eyes rather than through the common distortions of Western commercial cinema. So we're so delighted that you'll be joining us here in Portland. You'll be at the Hollywood Theater to speak with audiences after the screening Friday evening, February 14th, the Hala film. And it's free. All the films that are supported by Portland Community College are free and open to the public, which is very unique to be able to go to all of these beautiful films for free. In closing, can you say what you'll be doing briefly, the other two films in the retrospective of your work that will be screening the following day and evening, February 15th at the Cascade campus of Portland Community College? Just say a bit in closing about those other two films.
These two films are very important for me because the first one, Tableau Ferraille, is about love and it's also about women who can't have children. And in my community, it's a very difficult issue. The second one, Tableau Ferraille, is about loneliness and how love is important in life and how you can be in a society where the patriarchal system is also blocking so many women initiatives. And all these three films have something in common, is women destiny. I will end up saying one word, which is, you know, in the world, the world is working with only one leg. And there is another leg, which is missing. And this leg is women in Africa.
Yeah, that's a beautiful metaphor and a hopeful one about the interdependence. That we are
definitely
all interdependent, men and women, and the West is most surely dependent on Africa and has a lot to learn from all of the countries and rich traditions of Africa. Well, thank you so much for being with
thank
us
you,
this morning.
Thank you very much.
Jan Hawken talking today with Musa Sun Absa, Senegalese film director, painter, songwriter, artist who will be here for his trilogy of films. It's a special retrospective that is part of the Cascade Festival of African Films. Go on the website to see the full program. It's a month of fabulous films, and we look forward to welcoming you soon to the City of Roses, Portland.
Thank you. And I will bring some paintings and I will paint there so you will have the opportunity to see my paintings too.
Oh, I would love that. I will. I look forward to
Thank
seeing you soon. Take care. Travel safe.
you. Thank you, dear. Thank you very much.